Well, I've spoken before about the core values of the British Army, the six core values which every soldier is expected to know and to live out. And the mnemonic they use to remember these six core values is C-Drills. C-D-R-I-L-S. So, can you remember what any of those letters might stand for? I think I've told you them all in the past, maybe a year ago or so. What sort of characteristics might soldiers need that begin with one of those letters? What about the C? What characteristic might a soldier need that begins with C?
Courage,
absolutely, courage. Anyone want to have a guess at any of the others? The D-R-I-L-S?
Discipline,
absolutely. Respect. I'd expect the Padre's wife to know that. So they are courage, discipline, respect, integrity, loyalty, and selfless commitment. C-Drills. And when I taught these, I would ask the soldiers which one they thought was the most important. And unsurprisingly, I'd get all sorts of different answers. Young soldiers would often say courage is the most important. Young officers would often say selfless commitment is the most important. In the Guards regiments, they would say discipline is the most important. But older soldiers, those that have been in a while, those that had deployed on operations, would often say loyalty was the most important. And not loyalty to king and country, but loyalty to one another. Loyalty to your comrades in arms. The fact is that all these values are equally important. And if a person fails at one of them, chances are they will have failed at several of them. A soldier who steals from another soldier has failed at discipline, failed at respect, failed at integrity, failed at loyalty. So if you fail one, you fail multiple of them. But equally, if a person displays one of these attributes, they're likely to display several of these attributes. And here in the book of Ruth, especially in the person of Ruth, we see all of these values being displayed. Verses 16 and 17, which Janet just read, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die." That is all six of those core values displayed right there in that one sentence. But in particular, it's loyalty. Loyalty is at the heart of the book of Ruth. And it's at the heart of Ruth's personality. In Jewish rabbinic tradition, the main theme of this book is considered to be the Hebrew word chesed. And chesed means loyalty or faithfulness. If you're not familiar with the book of Ruth or you haven't read it for a while, do read it this afternoon when you get home. It's only four short chapters, probably not even a 10-minute read, the whole book. And the book is set in the period of the Judges, before Israel had kings, around 1100 BC. So remember, this is kind of Bronze Age moving into Iron Age. This isn't sort of highly developed like the Romans. This is Bronze Age kind of Palestine. Naomi and her husband Elimelech are Jews from Bethlehem, and when a famine strikes Israel, they move to Moab with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. 10 years later, disaster strikes the family. Elimelech and the two sons die, leaving Naomi and her two daughters-in-law bereft and alone. One of her daughters-in-law, as we heard, Orpah, returns to her own mother, back to her family. But Ruth insists on staying with Naomi, and they returned together to Naomi's home, Bethlehem. And there they interact with a relative of Naomi's called Boaz, who redeems the land which belonged to Elimelech, and who, seeing Ruth's devotion, her loyalty, her hard work, and honouring his family duty, he marries Ruth, even though she's not Jewish, and he brings her and Naomi under his protection and his provision. The book ends with the birth of Ruth and Boaz's son, Obed, who is King David's grandfather. And if you go into the New Testament, both Luke and Matthew place Obed, and therefore Ruth, in the genealogy of Jesus. And so Ruth, a non-Jewish woman, was the grandmother of the first king of Israel, King David, and the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of the ultimate king of Israel, King Jesus. Without this story of a Jewish man treating a foreign woman as if she were his kin, there would have been no King David. There would have been no King Jesus. Leviticus 19:34, the foreigner living among you, you must treat as if native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Even the names of the people in this story are highly symbolic. Naomi's sons are called Mahlon and Chilion, which mean sickness and spent or finished. Orpah means the back of the neck, and she shows the back of her neck to Naomi as she leaves her and returns home. Naomi means pleasant, but when she arrives back in Bethlehem, she gives herself the name Mara, which means bitter. Ruth means friend or companion, and Boaz means in him is strength. So at the heart of the origin story of the Messiah, the Christ, is this very important, very symbolic story of family duty. This story of faithfulness, this story of loyalty, this story of Chesed. The three main characters in the book, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, all manifest acts of Chesed, loyalty. Loyal to her husband, Naomi leaves Bethlehem and goes with him to Moab. And once her sons die, Naomi technically has no legal or family obligation towards her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And yet we see the deep concern that she has for the welfare of these two young widows. Verses 8 and 9, go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. And when they insist on staying with her, she says again, return home, my daughters. There is no hope for me and I can offer you nothing. An important part of Chesed, loyalty, is a deep and genuine concern for the welfare and well-being of other people, as displayed by Naomi's concern for Orpah and Ruth. Ruth obviously displays Chesed, and that's why the book is named after her. Just as Naomi had no technical legal obligation to help Ruth, so Ruth isn't obliged to stay with or help Naomi. And yet in cleaving herself to Naomi and seeking marriage with Boaz, who becomes the family protector, Ruth's Chesed goes above and beyond any expectation. And Boaz, then he acts with Shazed by accepting the double responsibility of redeeming the land and marrying Ruth, which if you read in the book, neither of which is strictly his responsibility. There's someone else who should be doing that. And so in doing this, he preserved the lineage and the inheritance of a family that were all but lost. This concept of family continuity is central to the story and is largely achieved by women. Whilst the Bible was written in a sexist and patriarchal society and time, I don't think that in itself it is an inherently sexist book. God operates within and almost allows himself to be constrained by the boundaries of human societies. And in this story, he calls Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz to operate within those societal constraints, however, pushing them quite hard. Ruth and Naomi have no societal obligation to each other, and Boaz doesn't really have a societal or familial responsibility to either of them. And yet, just about within the societal restraints, God achieves what he wants to do. And that is, perhaps contentiously, placing a non-Israelite directly into the lineage of King David, and therefore into the lineage of Jesus. Absolutely demonstrating that the purpose of Israel always was supposed to be about drawing all people to God, and that the purpose of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is also to draw all people to God. Go and make disciples of all nations. In chapter 4, as he announces his marriage to Ruth, Boaz is blessed by the elders with these words: "May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." And when Ruth falls pregnant and gives birth to Obed, the women of the community say to Naomi, "For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than seven sons." And so the Bible then portrays Ruth and Naomi as being just as important as the Israelite matriarchs. Only in this story, the house of Israel isn't preserved by the senior wives of the patriarchs, but by an elderly barren woman, widow, and her non-Israelite daughter-in-law. Boaz's understanding of Shezed, loyalty, goes beyond family and society. In chapter 2, verse 8, Boaz addresses Ruth as "my daughter," emphasizing that already he is adopting a protective familial stance regarding her and de-emphasizing her foreignness. And later he raises Ruth, a poverty-stricken foreign widow, to his own status. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says that all his people know that Ruth is a worthy woman. Or in the NIV it says, a woman of noble character. This is actually quite a technical Hebrew term, eshet sheil. Eshet sheil is the same term that's used in Proverbs 31 to describe the wife of noble character. So no longer is Ruth to be considered a servant or an alien, but Boaz and his people consider her to be an appropriate wife for an ish gibor sheil, that is, a prominent rich man, And I've probably butchered those Hebrew pronunciations. But he is an Ish-Gibor Sheol, a prominent rich man. And he calls Ruth an Eshet Sheol, a noble woman, worthy of marrying him. So although the plot of the story operates at a family level and not on a national level, the fact that it ends with the birth of King David's grandfather, Obed, indicates clearly that this story is fundamental to the establishment of the Jewish monarchy and the continuance of the nation of Israel. The word shezed, which is at the centre of the story of Ruth, and which I've said means loyalty, goes perhaps deeper than loyalty. It describes the unbounded sacrificial love with which God created and sustains his world, and which he shows to all people. And it describes that same kind of loyal, sacrificial, loving kindness which humans are meant to show one another. As we consider the shezed of Naomi, of Ruth, of Boaz, who all went above and beyond their legal and cultural obligations, I'll leave you with the question that I used to ask my young soldiers. Who or what are you loyal to? Who or what is the recipient of your shezed, that sacrificial, loving, self-denying loyalty which prioritizes the welfare and well-being of others?